Good morning. Good to be with you today. This morning we're going to be in Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. Kind of an unusual story today, and one that I'm not sure that we always know exactly what to do with. I think it's one that the confusion that goes on in the story tends to confuse us a little bit too, and we're not quite sure what to make of it and what God is saying through it, but hopefully we'll make some sense of it today. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Now, it's interesting to me, before we carry on with this verse, the idea of everybody being together and everybody being able to speak to each other and to understand what is being said, and how different that is from not being able to understand. I woke up yesterday morning at a hotel in Portland. We were waiting to go pick up Stacy at the airport. And when I woke up, I saw that I had missed a text that came in at about 2 or 2:30 in the morning. And I slept right through it. So luckily, there was nothing I could do. And I want to say it wasn't an emergency, except it kind of was an emergency. And when I looked at the text, my wife said that there in the Paris airport, very close to where she was, they had just done a controlled explosion. Controlled detonation of a suitcase that had been left behind and no one knew who it belonged to and no one was there to claim it, and they were concerned about terrorism and bombs and things of that nature, and so they were going to detonate this suitcase right there in the airport because no one wanted to touch it or move it or anything like that. And the problem was there was so much chaos around security because no one knew what was going on, and very quietly on the loudspeaker, ironically, there was a voice in French trying to explain to people what was going on, and Stacy and so many of the other English speakers there in the group had no clue what was happening. And I thought to myself about the story we were going to talk about today, about the importance of being able to communicate, the importance of being able to know what is being said. I appreciate even in our midst, most Sundays, we have Amanda over here, who's now having to spell her own name out. We have Amanda over here who helps us to communicate so that we can communicate with everyone who's here. These folks had that, and I think kind of took it for granted, and they find themselves together ready for this big project. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them through thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar, and they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." Now, I think a key to this story and why you're going to see God do what God is going to do is because this is all about them. They're going to make this tower for ourselves, in their words, so that people all around will be able to see this great thing that we've done, and then they will come to us and we can all gather here and everybody can look at us. It's easy to get there, isn't it? Isn't it easy to make it all about us, all about me and the great things that I have and the great things that I will do? And this is their plan. They're going to build this big tower so that people can see them and what they've done. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." The Lord came down into their city. Now, there are, in the Hebrew language, and I don't know anything about Hebrew other than what I read other people say about Hebrew. It's not a language I'm familiar with at all. But I do know in the Hebrew language there are a lot of directional words. And the idea that what we have here is that he came down, I think, has some significance for us. Because if you remember over the last few weeks, and if you're visiting or if you've not been here for the last few weeks or month, you might have forgotten that as we've looked through, we started at creation, and we worked our way through the story of Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. We worked our way through the story of people like Enoch and Methuselah working down through the generations and on to Noah last week. And a phrase that we saw come up several times is this idea of God walking among the people, or the people walking with God. When Adam and Eve sin and they go to hide themselves, we find God walking in the garden. We find Enoch described as having walked with God. And then shortly after that, we find a time where people called on the name of the Lord. And then people get evil again. And then we find Noah, his family, or a group that walk with God. Here we find God coming down into the city. which at least from their point of view makes it seem like to me that God is not a part of what they're doing initially. He would have been walking through the city, they're in the city. And it's not that God is absent, because God is everywhere. God is with us here this morning. He is with people across the world doing the same thing we're doing this morning. But they are not all that interested in God being a part of what they're doing. And so we have this imagery of God coming down to their city and seeing what's going on, and then he confuses their language. Now, I will admit to you that there have been times in life where I have read this story and thought to myself, well, that just seems kind of mean, doesn't it? I mean, what would it be like if we were all sitting here together this morning, and when we got up to leave and you turned to talk to the person next to you, you're no longer speaking a language that you were familiar with when we came in here this morning, and they no longer can understand anything that you're saying. What would that be like? How frustrating would that be to not be able to communicate? And yet, I hope that we can trust in God that he has a purpose in what he is doing. Now, as God's timing works in a way that is not like our timing, that purpose is going to take a while to come around. But clearly, there's something beyond this other than just, let's mess with these people. He is going to confuse their language for a purpose that he has. And I think that purpose begins with the fact that they are centered on themselves. And he is going to cause them to recenter back on him again. So the Lord scattered them from there, all over the earth. The thing they were trying to prevent, by the way, and isn't this the way God operates sometimes too, we try so desperately to grab control of something. And we want to make it the way that we want it. And those are the times so often that God reminds us, you're not in control. I'm in control. And more than that, you should want me to be in control because I'm better at this than you are. I understand how you're designed. I want to help you to live a better life than you're living. They want to gather everybody together, and God says, no, we're going to scatter instead. So he scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel. And by the way, I know we tend to make this Babel because it's about languages, and that's what Babel means to us nowadays. Completely unrelated. It's what the word is in Hebrew. Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. And so part of the Lord's purpose is that they're not going to be in this one central location, but they are instead going to be spread out around the earth. Which takes us, of all places this morning, to Acts chapter 2. Now, you may not know, because we don't make a big deal of religious holidays in the Church of Christ, today is the day of Pentecost. And we find in Acts chapter 2, Christians there, or people who are about to be Christians, and the apostles there celebrating the day of Pentecost. And it's interesting that we have, in Genesis 11, thousands of years before, found ourselves at people being scattered, and now we find ourselves in Acts 2 with everyone who has been scattered coming back together. It's as if he planned it this way, isn't it? It amazes me, the more I look at Scripture, things that seem totally unrelated are clearly part of the plan he had in mind in the first place. So when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. The thing he did not want them to do in Genesis chapter 11 is exactly what he needs them to do in Acts chapter 2, because now is the right time. Have you ever found yourself hitting against that wall and you just can't seem to break through, and you finally give up on it, and then that thing comes around later? Isn't it amazing how life works out that way? And sometimes I feel like God is working to make things that way. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. They're all in one place. And they're all in one place because this is the moment where the Spirit is going to come on the scene and do something very unique. And we haven't heard just a ton about the Spirit to this point in Scripture, but now the Spirit is going to do something amazing. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It is not them, through the things that they know, through the talents they have, through the classes of language they've taken, anything like that. It is the Holy Spirit coming in and doing something. Now, we, especially in the Church of Christ, don't talk about the Holy Spirit a whole lot. I don't know why that is. I think maybe other groups have taken it and gone other directions with it. Maybe we just don't know enough about it to talk about it. But here, the Spirit is coming on folks in a very miraculous kind of way. And it comes on the apostles, and the apostles are now able to speak in ways that they could not speak before. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. From every nation under heaven. All these folks have gathered together here on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. At this sound, the multitude came together. And why wouldn't you? Stacy was telling me that when the controlled detonation happened, and controlled and detonation are not words that are supposed to go together, I don't think. But when the controlled detonation happened in the airport, there was a whole bunch of French very quietly on the loudspeaker, and then you heard two whistles and then an explosion, which is pretty exciting, and everybody kind of started to scatter a little bit. When there are noises, it tends to draw people's attention, and God could have just put the Spirit on these people, and there didn't have to be tongues of fire and all this stuff, but part of what he's trying to do is draw attention to what is about to happen. Because what is about to happen is very significant. At this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered. Because why wouldn't you be? Because each of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans?" And so suddenly, as you have not been able to communicate with the people around you, and you've tried to keep within your own little circle of people that understand what you're saying and you understand what they're saying, now these guys who are up here talking, you understand exactly what they're saying. Pretty amazing moment. And for those of us especially who may struggle with the idea of languages or trying to understand them or learn them, pretty significant that these people are hearing their own language. And I think if we are to assume the way God tends to do miracles, are probably hearing their own language in their own dialect with their own accents and everything else that you might imagine that just sounds like someone who has spoken that language their entire lives. They are now understanding everything that's being said. And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. And if you start working your way through this list, you will start to realize pretty quickly, you have more than 12 languages represented here. And so not only do you have these 12 folks who are now able to speak in languages they do not know, you have people hearing more languages that are being spoken. Now think about that for a minute. There's a whole lot of miraculous going on in the midst of this. All were amazed and perplexed, understatement, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." What? I don't know. I'm not a drinker, and I don't imagine that when I was taking Greek in college and struggling with it sometimes, that if I were to go out and just really let go and drink a lot, that I would have then gone in and aced the test the next day. I don't think that's how it's supposed to work. That's not how they show it in the commercials and all that. I don't get where the mentality is. I think we can realize very quickly, people are sometimes willing to explain anything away in a way other than God. But if you have lived walking with God long enough, you have seen God do some things that are unexplainable. You have seen God fix situations that don't seem fixable. You have seen God work in places you didn't think he could work. You have had God help you to do things that you didn't think you could do. And you have seen God work through other people that you never thought he might work through. And here, he is putting all these languages before them, and new wine just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But the key here is that they are using all these languages to talk about the mighty works of God. They are not using all these languages the way in Genesis 11 things were going, which is, let's build this tower so everyone can see what we did. If you suddenly knew a language right now that you didn't know 5 minutes ago, any temptation at all just to impress folks with that? Any temptation at all just to use that some way that would blow people's minds? They are doing this to talk about the mighty works of God, which is why at the beginning of this sermon, if you saw the title on the screen or in your bulletin, who will they see was the question we ask. Because the things we are we doing them for folks to see us and who we are, or are we doing them for folks to see him? And so Peter takes this occasion to preach what is most people would think is the most significant sermon, possibly other than the Sermon on the Mount, ever preached. And Peter begins to explain to them, no, we're not drunk, because that doesn't make any sense. What we're doing right now is we're fulfilling the prophecy of Joel, way back in your Old Testament prophets, where he said the Spirit would come down on this occasion and do exactly what he's doing now. And then he said, do you remember Jesus? Do you remember Jesus who came to this earth and did all these miracles and signs and walked among us? And then you took him and you led him to be killed and took his life. And do you remember David, of whose line he is of? David, you can go and you can see his tomb and find it now, and it's still there and his body is still in it. But Jesus, who you crucified, was raised and has ascended to heaven. This is why we are here. This is why we are speaking in your language. This is what you have done. This is what has happened. And not only has all this happened and you've been a part of it, this is all part of the plan of God from the beginning. And they ask the one question that I think most of us would ask at that point, what shall we do? You have now told us that this guy who we thought was a false teacher was actually the Son of God and was exactly who he said he was, and God has sent him here for us, and we took him and we killed him. Now what do we do? And I think that's the question we find ourselves with this morning, is what shall we do? What is it we are to do as a result of knowing the message that God sends to us? What do we do knowing that God scattered all these folks way back in Genesis 11, brings them all back together for this moment, and everyone's life at this point needs to be changed? And this morning, I think he brings us all together here for the same reason, that our lives should be changed, that we should begin to walk with him, and if we have already walked with him, that we should begin to walk with him again. And so they say, what shall we do? And Peter says to them, repent and be baptized. Your life will be changed because of coming into contact with him. And this morning, we find the same message for us. If you are going along and you are not walking with God, and when you feel like God is present, it's as on the Tower of Babel, it's as if he has come down for that moment to be present. He wants to be present in your life all the time. If you feel like communicating with everybody else is a challenge, he wants to come into our lives to help us make that better. If you look at your life and you think, you know, I was there. I was where Moses was, where Noah was last week that we talked about, where I'm trying to follow and I just don't get it right all the time. He wants you to come back to him. And the result of this sermon, which just blows my mind every time I read the chapter, 3,000 respond. 3,000. What would that be like? You think this message of God cannot be life-changing, earth-shattering? It's exactly the way he designed it to be. So this morning, if you find yourself wanting a better relationship with him, this is the day to begin that. He has brought us together here for that very reason. This morning, if you have fallen away, if you have walked in a different direction, he wants you to begin walking with him again. This morning, if there are things as your church family that we can do to help, things that we can share in, and Acts 2 will carry on to talk about how they shared life together, and they studied together, and they prayed together, we want to be that family too. If there's anything we can do this morning to help you, please come while we stand and sing.